BBC Sounds. Music, radio, podcasts.
You don't think rationally when you have cancer, because suddenly nothing is logical. You want to live. You feel you will do anything you can to be that one person to be cured.
This is Liz O'Riordan. She used to work as a surgeon who treated patients with breast cancer. And then, 10 years ago, she was diagnosed with breast cancer herself.
The first thing I thought when I was diagnosed is, I'm going to be dead in 10 years. And that's mainly as a surgeon, I knew my own statistics.
Liz tells me that her experience changed the way she understood her patients.
I used to tell patients, don't Google. There's a lot of scary shit out there. Here's a load of leaflets you're never going to read, off you go. And it's ridiculous because it's the first thing I did.
When Liz searched online after her diagnosis, she was taken aback by what she found.
And I suddenly entered this whole new world of social media. People were sending me videos and messages. Have you heard about this? Have you heard about that?
As Liz descended deeper into conspiracy land, she decided to do research into what was happening to people. And she came across cases of other cancer patients who she says were harmed because they believed medical misinformation.
A friend of a young girl with breast cancer said she was so scared of having chemotherapy because she didn't want to lose her hair. She found a herbalist who told her that she didn't have breast cancer, it was something else. And when her breast cancer started growing through the skin, they said, this is great, this is the cancer leaving the body. By the time she was in a hospice, she realised it was too late to start chemo and regretted what she'd done.
Including examples where some people had lost their lives.
There was someone else whose relative went to a clinic in Mexico with lymphoma. He has stage 4 cancer, they said they can cure him. And she only found out he was dead when the hotel he was staying in rang her after 5 days to say, we haven't seen your husband.
Seeing the harm misinformation can cause motivated Liz to take action.
And I thought, I need to do something about this. And it can take hours and hours to create those videos, but just trying to get a little bit of common sense out there to say, if I can save one person from doing something stupid, I still feel like I'm a doctor. But you just feel you're banging your head against a brick wall because the noise out there is huge.
I'm Mariana Spring, the BBC's social media investigations correspondent, and I expose the real-world consequences of disinformation, conspiracy theories, trolls and algorithms on social media. Throughout this series, I've been investigating the case of Paloma Shemarani, a young woman who died of cancer in 2024 after rejecting chemotherapy in favour of pursuing unproven alternative therapies. And I found that Paloma's story is far from an isolated case. Since the pandemic, I've observed how anti-medicine conspiracy theories have become more mainstream. Increasingly, celebrities, influencers, and even major politicians have been posting and resharing health misinformation. In this episode, I want to explore how these ideas spread and what, if anything, can be done to stop them. This is Mariana in Conspiracy Land 2 for BBC Radio 4. Episode 5, A Collective Immune System. When exploring how best to protect people from the harm health misinformation can cause, it's important to understand how conspiracy land works. This brings me back to Paloma. Paloma's brothers say the beliefs held by their mum, a conspiracy theory influencer who shares anti-medicine views on social media, contributed to Paloma's decision to reject a treatment that could have saved her life. However, her mum, Kate Shemarani, seems to have a very different perspective. In February, she shared a thread on X explaining what she and Paloma's dad, Faramaz, say happened to Paloma. Gabriel, Paloma's twin brother, saw the post and it made him angry.
So I was at home. I was studying. It was a normal day for me. And I went on the tweet. It made me angry because it was my sister. I'd never imagined an existence without her because she'd always been there. And now you're using her memory and you're distorting what caused her death.
In the post, Kate claims that Paloma was murdered by medical staff in the NHS and there is now a cover-up underway. Online, she makes a variety of allegations about the hospital where Paloma was diagnosed, the one where she died, and about ambulance staff who treated her when she collapsed. I've seen no evidence to back up any of these accusations.
Curiously, in all these posts, when she says the NHS killed my daughter, She never mentions what put her daughter in on life support, what put her in hospital. She never mentions she had a heart attack. She never mentions her heart attack was caused by the tumour in my sister's chest and the lack of treatment for it.
The thread also includes photos of Paloma as a child, pictures of her at university, and a picture of her coffin.
She's sharing stuff which is deeply personal, and it's just so disrespectful to my sister's memory to share.
Kate has also made similar allegations about medical staff being responsible for her daughter's death during appearances on podcasts.
She's died because of what they did, not because of her collapse. It's because of what they did, and it's so crystal clear. I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to stop. Everything is there, and I will bring in more when I know it's safe to do so. But right now, it's something I can't put out. But, so many people have been murdered this way. So many. And they'll be continuing to murder this way.
I wanted to speak to Kate Shemarani myself and offered her the opportunity to share her thoughts and respond to the comments made about her in this series. I interviewed Kate back in 2020, a few years before Paloma was diagnosed with cancer. At the time, she was happy to answer my questions. She stood by her views opposing the COVID-19 vaccinations, contrary to the evidence. When I first texted her this time, she seemed open to discussing the idea of an interview. She started her message with, "I trust you are well, considering how many COVID shots that you likely were deceived into taking." But then she decided against it, and instead sent letters to me, also signed by Paloma's dad, Faramaz Shemarani. They write that they have evidence which, quote, "substantiate that Paloma died as a direct result of medical interventions given without confirmed diagnosis or lawful consent. I've not seen any evidence to support these claims." In the letter, they go on to accuse me and the BBC of promoting the COVID-19 vaccine, and they say it has been, quote, "linked by leading scientists, legal experts and whistleblowers to a biological weapon program." They say any attempt to, quote, "misrepresent or distort Paloma's death will be treated as evidence of continuing institutional alignment with pharmaceutical narratives. I wrote to Paloma's mum and dad, Kate and Faramaz Shemarani, after this, separately, with different allegations raised in the series. Neither responded. Dr. Tom Roakes from the Royal College of Radiologists never met Paloma, but describes what you'd expect to see in a patient who does not pursue conventional treatment for non-Hodgkin lymphoma.
As time goes by, you'd expect just to become generally more unwell, so losing weight, losing appetite, becoming more frail, less able to do things, until, I guess, with no treatment at all, you'd end up dying really just from the burden of cancer growing in your body.
As does social media campaigner, doctor and cancer patient Liz O'Riordan.
What cancer does is it starts taking energy from your muscles. It starts breaking down your lungs and your heart to get the energy it needs. So she would have had a mass like this growing and growing and growing. And eventually it's going to stop blood getting to the heart. It's going to stop oxygen getting to the lungs. You'd be very, very sick and you eventually wouldn't be able to breathe.
Kate Shemarani's explanation of how Paloma died on X has had over 700,000 views online. It's not just that X's algorithms are promoting the thread, but blue tick users have also shared it, including prominent conspiracy theorists, campaigners, and even some political figures. This isn't the first time Kate Shemarani's ideas have been connected to politicians. She has appeared in videos for Children's Health Defence. This is an anti-vaccine group. It describes Robert F. Kennedy Jr. as a founder. He's now the Secretary of State for Health in the US government. He's previously been criticised for promoting disinformation about vaccines.
Yeah, autism is caused by vaccines. There's a series of about 13 studies that were done by people we call biostitutes. They're, one of them was the leading one. They are people who do these studies for money for CDC. They were paid for by CDC in order to create the illusion that vaccines don't cause autism.
In the videos, Kate also shares unproven theories about vaccines, as well as discussing topics like organ donation.
They don't give a rat's ass about you or your offspring. They don't care. you think that the people right at the very top are vaccinated? Of course they aren't. They don't give a damn.
RFK Jr. says he is now no longer affiliated with the Children's Health Defence. And earlier this year, he said he is not anti-vaccine and that he just supports more safety tests. The social media world seems to have made it more possible for figures like him to find a following for their views. Liz O'Riordan tells me having someone like Robert F. Kennedy in a position of authority makes combating misinformation even harder.
It's giving fuel to a fire. It's an opening for everyone to hop on and share their beliefs to be known by him. Kids are going to die of measles. It's just horrific what is happening. I think there's been a lot of mistrust in the government, all over the world, how they've handled COVID, whether you're in government or you're out. And I think what's going on in America is frightening. It terrifies me that this is becoming normal. And suddenly people are not having their vaccinations and kids are dying of measles. And when it's happening on a global stage, how can doctors like me try and say, hello, this is nonsense?
It's something Dr. Roakes, the Vice President of the Royal College of Radiologists, agrees is a challenge.
I think when you've got a Secretary of State for Health in the States like Kennedy, who actively promotes views like the link between vaccines and autism that have been debunked years ago, then that makes it much easier for other people to peddle false views and therefore to influence more vulnerable people.
The consequences of some of these ideas have been playing out in the US in recent months. There has been a measles outbreak in the state of Texas. Over 700 people were taken ill and two have died. Medical experts have put this outbreak down to low vaccine uptake. RFK Jr. has now encouraged people to get the measles vaccine. Dr. Roach says that while this can seem like it's been a bigger phenomenon in the US, other countries, including the UK, have become more distrustful of medicine and science since the pandemic.
I think the whole way that politics in the UK too doesn't value expert opinions and criticises science and has trouble, I think, knowing what truth is and what it isn't, I think that then makes it easier for these other ideas to fester and become more mainstream.
And to some extent, there's a kind of feedback loop. Some social media algorithms promote unfounded anti-medicine ideas. They're more visible. Politicians push these same ideas, or those who share them are pushed by algorithms, and so on. Dr. Tom Roakes thinks one of the solutions could be for the scientific community to rethink the way it responds to some of the ideas so they can properly talk them through with patients.
We've probably got to be better at doing good research into alternative treatments too. So one of the challenges with cannabis oil or fenbendazole is that there isn't any evidence to support them working, but actually no one's done the right trials. And if the correct trials had been done, then you might have better evidence to say, actually, look, we've really investigated this. We know that this drug doesn't work at all.
He also says effectively challenging the content being posted online could be useful too.
I think we've also got to call out the conspiracy theorists. We've got to find ways to logically and sensibly rebut that information without getting embroiled in social media disputes, because that's not the best way of doing it. And I think there's something about just social media in general and how we regulate that and how we try and get that back to a more trusted place where you can believe to some degree what you read and see there, but that's a bigger problem than I can solve.
During this investigation, I've spoken to several cancer patients who told me that when they were feeling overwhelmed and afraid about their health, videos and posts sharing health misinformation could be really appealing. This is one of the things I wanted to talk to Liz O'Riordan, the former cancer surgeon, about. She says that she didn't always understand the best way to respond to patients when they told her they were contemplating alternative therapies instead of following the medical advice that she was giving.
One in particular, she had surgery, but she didn't want radiotherapy because she thought that would cause cancer. She was going to go on a juicing retreat in France to stop it coming back. And I remember being really angry with her. How dare you refuse modern medicine? I know I can cure you. This is not going to work. And, you know, I said, if you leave here, we won't see you again. And it was the wrong thing to do. But I just couldn't understand where she was coming from.
But when Liz became a patient herself after being diagnosed with breast cancer, She says she began to better understand why people in that position search online and encounter misinformation.
You go down this rabbit hole and suddenly you are lost thinking, oh my goodness, everyone should take dog dewormers. Everyone has parasites. We all need parasite cleansers. And you're just in this bubble of nonsense, but you believe it. And it's really, really hard to break through.
And so she decided to do something about it and started to create content challenging the misleading claims she was seeing.
Stop scrolling. You do not want to miss this. There is a new drug available on the NHS.
Hi, I'm Dr. Liz O'Riordan. I'm a breast surgeon who's had breast cancer, so I know what I'm talking about.
Is your cancer grade the same as a mark on a school essay? Well, not quite. I'm a breast cancer surgeon, and I'm going to explain what it means.
She tells me part of the reason medical misinformation takes off is because influencers, unlike qualified medical practitioners, are less likely to face consequences for sharing misleading content, and they build an entire identity around their online posts.